This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Do not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. KC Johnson is the basketball man at the Chicago Tribune and a contributor to this show. KC, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We are really excited. We've been, talking about the possibility of some surprises in the draft, the Bulls being more aggressive than we imagined. And, you know, I guess to me, you know, we'll get to individual players and who they're going to take and all that stuff. But are they going to even have a conversation? You know, supposedly Kawhi Leonard will not be traded to the Western Conference. Last I checked, the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference. Will they make that phone call? Will they even bother trying to figure out how much it costs? LeBron, the summer of LeBron again, would they even make a phone call? Would they even bother with a presentation? Will they call World Wide West? Where are they at with all that?
Yeah, you're not doing your job if you don't know at least officially get ruled out of LeBron's sweepstakes.
Yeah.
They did that in he's been a free agent so many times, I can't remember.
Yeah.
They did it one summer where it didn't even get rid of Bob. You make the call. You get an idea. So, yeah, you're not doing your job if you don't do due diligence on this. As far as Kawhi, I mean, I wrote this. I mean, you know, their starting point's going to be Lauri Markkanen and the 7 pick at least, and then some. So, I don't know. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's a great player, but there's this perception out there that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. Bulls need a small forward. Yeah, okay, put him in there, get him for chunk, put him in there, and you got this great lineup. But that's not the case. He's an NBA Finals MVP. He's a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. They're going to ask for your best player, and that to me is Lauri Markkanen. So that's the starting point. The 7 pick would be asked for. So I don't know. I haven't done much San Antonio reporting on that, but my sense is the Spurs are going to drag that out and see if, you know, you get to next season and see if you can salvage it, et cetera. I mean, he's under contract. You don't have to trade him right now.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to eliminate half the league, they can ask for the world, KC, but if you're going to eliminate one conference, and first things first, you got to figure out what exactly went on there, and was it just a, you know, battle of personalities and wills, or is there something else going on there? And you know, how much is Kawhi going to play ball with you here if he doesn't come willingly? But how many teams can afford him once you do a sign and trade? And I mean, they can ask for Lauri, but if start talking Zach LaVine, I mean, I just think how many teams are actually will be in play for a guy like that if it's the only Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, Brian. I mean, you know, I think the Pacers are pretty instructional for how to handle a trade like that. I mean, they were under a lot of pressure, and I think they nailed it, obviously. No one thought Oladipo would be this good, but he is. So you stick to what's best for your organization, and you figure it out. But, I mean, I don't know. I think, again, there's this perception that just because Kawhi wants out and the Bulls need a small forward that you just slot him in there, but that's not how it works. You have to give up a lot to get that guy. And your team would be drastically different. So, you know, you give up multiple pieces, multiple young assets, and he would be your focal point. Now, he's a fantastic player, obviously, and he's only 27. I don't know. I think him in a Bulls uniform is a long shot, I guess, is the way I would put it.
What do you make of this idea that free agents still don't want to go to the Bulls? Is that still something out there? I mean, they're building through the draft. They're building from scratch. Do they have to?
Well, I mean, what's crazy is, you know, you're saying this, you know, one summer after, well, I guess two summers now, after they signed Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in free agency. So, I mean, now obviously fans ripped those picks, but they spent a lot of money, and those are big names that they got in free agency and people that they targeted. So, obviously, Wade picked them more than they picked Wade, but, you know, I know there's that perception out there, and they've obviously missed on some high-profile ones in LeBron in 2010 and Carmelo in 14. You know, they got Pau Gasol in 14. That worked out very well. In 10, they didn't get a big name, but they got a bunch of pieces that worked out fantastically, and they led the NBA in regular season victories 2 years in a row. So I know that they've had trouble landing the exact one they've wanted. Most long ago example is they targeted Ben Wallace and went out and got him. And obviously that didn't work out the way they wanted it to, but at the time they thought that was the absolute piece to make that try-hard Bulls-era team a championship team. But I don't know. I think they've been able to get more accomplished in free agency than most. But yes, they've not been able to get the piece.
I look at Wade and Rondo as a failure.
It's like
but it was the senior circuit, but it also didn't work.
No, there's no doubt about that. I'm not pointing that as an example. Wow, look at this, Bulls succeeded in free agency. But here's the other thing about that people forget often is that I know it was a laughing stock and everyone joked about it, and you know, especially after the younger and more athletic comment, et cetera. You know, they had money to spend, and those were short-term deals. They got they basically just took one last grasp at relevance there. And then, obviously, they're like, all right, this isn't working. Trade Jimmy, get off of Wade's money, get off Rondo's money. So they didn't hamstring themselves long-term. But, no, I'm not saying those free agency examples worked. I'm just saying they went out. Rajon Rondo was their target, and they got him on the first day of free agency. So, you know. I agree with your point. They're trying to build through the draft. I think they're going to add two pieces here on Thursday, and I think they're going to try to spend money next summer. And, yeah, that's going to be on them to target somebody and get the right person, because it has been a problem in terms of getting the elite piece piece to cement a championship contention team.
What would constitute a bolder and aggressive move for the Bulls? Is there one out there, whether it's selecting a player as you sit at 7, you don't make a move, but you select a high ceiling, you know, or a high risk or maybe high reward guy? Or is there something that would be out of character for them that's a possibility?
I mean, I just keep doing the math. I mean, one of those high risk, high upside, you know, stereotypically speaking, against the Bulls' grain of drafting philosophy, is going to be available at 7. If you go Ayton, Doncic, Jackson, and Bagley, top four, which I still think is going to happen, there's only two teams in front of you. So Porter, Young, or Bombo, there's three players there. One of those guys is going to fall. I've been saying that since the combine. One of those guys is going to fall. And then you're going to be squared with one of those players against the so-called, you know, drafting profile, safer, high floor, low ceiling guys like Carter Jr. or Bridges. I still think Carter Jr. is ahead of Bridges on their draft board. I'm discussing there. I'm not reporting that. But I think it's going to come down to Carter Jr. versus one of those guys that is going to fall. I mean, it's just, you do the math, and one of those guys is going to be there. As far as aggressive, I keep hearing them say we're excited to add two picks. I don't see them trying to package the picks. I think adding two young players right now is the right thing to do. I do think Mo Bamba is somebody that intrigues them greatly. I don't know if he's going to be there at 7. So if you want him, you got to go get him, and probably get ahead of Dallas at 5. But I keep hearing them say that they're excited to add two young players. So that's what I expect them to do on Thursday.
So I understand the Porter thing is injury. The Trey Young thing is size. What is the Mo Bamba thing? Why is he a controversial pick? Because he doesn't play much offense. He's not an inspired guy. Is that the idea?
Yeah, those are the two question marks: motor and an offensive skill. Now, we talked to him about offensive skill when he worked out for the Bulls, and if you watch any of the video, his shot. Now, again, it's empty gym, 1-0. Right. You know, I'm pretty good in that scenario, too, by the way. But,
I could go seven in that scenario.
But no, but his shot, his form is just 100% different from his year at Texas. It's out the three-point range. It's
wow,
high release. It's really nice form. He's really worked on his shot. He told us that, and the video backs it up. So, again, it's empty gym, but there's a lot there that looks like he's put some work in. But you hear questions about his motor, but, I mean, just in terms of athletic potential and size, I mean, you don't obviously see a lot of 7 foot, 10-inch wingspans. And he just is a really poised, articulate kid. So he's somebody I know they're intrigued by. You know, Porter and Young, I've heard less buzz with the Bulls linked to them. I think Young is somebody that you have to consider just because of what he accomplished in his 1 year in college. And I think he it obviously would be someone offensively that would fit with what Fred's trying to do. Porter, I could be wrong. I'm not saying the Bulls are telling me what they're doing, but I just have heard very little buzz or linkage with the Bulls and Porter. I think there's just too many red flags there.
Is it just, I mean, too many red flags, not just physical. There's talk of bad teammates, soft, whatever it is that – a diva, like, is that some of the stuff you're hearing?
Yeah, I think it's less bad teammate. I think it's just more that there's question marks as to whether or not he makes teams around him, players around him better. So it's not like, you know, he's a bad guy.
Right.
He seemed, you know, I've only talked to the kid once. He seemed very open and accessible and funny and, you know, so.
So not Tyrus Thomas, think, yeah.
No, I think it's more just fit with teammates, and he's a guy who's going to need the ball a lot. So I think there's question marks there. But, look, I also know for a fact that and I know these pro days are just, you know, one small piece of the puzzle, but I know for a fact that he shot the ball incredibly well at the first one. I didn't hear much about the second one, but the first one he shot the ball very, very well. And so, yeah, I'm as intrigued by anybody as what's going to happen Thursday, because I think there's so many different directions the Bulls could go, and it's obviously going to depend a lot on what happens in front of them with those first six picks.
There's been reports out there that they're dissatisfied with Chris Dunn's workout, and that's one of the reasons they're looking at a point guard. Are you buying any of that? Have you heard the same things?
I haven't even asked on that. I think off-season stuff is something I don't put a lot. I know this is an important offseason just because they talked about it, but all I'll say about that is this, I know there's some times where the three players have talked about getting together, and, you know, the three being the core,
right,
of Dunn, Levine, and Markkanen, and none of those three times have occurred yet. So, you know, as far as what's happened between the end of the season now, I haven't focused on that. I haven't asked anybody on that.
We'll let you go, KC. You did write about Gar spending time in Europe. Does that mean that the second of the two first rounders could wind up being, you know, a Drazan Musa? I don't. That's the only name I know. The kid from Serbia or Bosnia, whatever.
You know, it could, but here's the thing: I doubt it'd be a drafting stash, just because you keep hearing them talking about adding two young players to this. I think they're really excited about 22. In fact, I know that because at 22, I think they're going to get a wing that they really like, and I think they're going to get somebody that I think can contribute right away. I think this is a deep draft once you get down there in terms of rotation players, and there are a lot of athletic wings. So I think, I personally, this is my guess, I think they're going to go big with the 7 pick and wing with the 22 pick.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, KC.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks, KC.
That is KC Johnson.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.